coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians. Who is Christ Jesus? This question has been asked over the centuries, and a variety of answers have been given. Jesus himself asked his followers, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." The identity of Jesus was misunderstood by people in his days. Peter expressed the identity of Jesus Christ with a short and precise statement. Jesus Christ is the Messiah promised since the beginning of the world. He became man, and at the same time always was and is the Son of the living God. Writing to the Christians in Colossae, the Apostle Paul pictures the identity of Christ with powerful statements. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, we read the following. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." This text probably was used by early Christians as a hymn exalting the supremacy of Christ in contrast to false teachings about Christ in Colossae. Who is Jesus Christ? Let us consider one statement at a time. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. In the Greek language, image is something that resembles the original. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. God is invisible, for no one has ever seen God. Christ, who is the eternal Son of God and who became the God-man, reflects and reveals God. The first human beings were created in the image of God. Sadly, they and their descendants lost the image of God. However, in Christ, God's image is restored in the believers. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of all creation. This does not mean that Jesus is the first of many creatures, as if Jesus were part of the creation. Firstborn means one who is privileged. Just as the firstborn son had certain privileges and rights in the biblical world, so also Christ has certain rights in relation to all creation. To him belong priority, preeminence, and sovereignty. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. God the Father is commonly referred to as the creator. However, here Jesus Christ is clearly identified as the Creator along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says that by Jesus Christ all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. This description includes literally everything. We as human beings are part of Christ's marvelous creation. By thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities are meant spiritual beings, angels. Note, however, that Christ is supreme over all creatures. The ultimate goal of creation is the redemption that Christ accomplished. Jesus Christ is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, says the Apostle. Jesus Christ is eternal. He existed as true God before the creation of the universe. He continues to care very much about all creation, sustains it, and will renew it. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the Church. The Christian Church, that is, the totality of believers, comprises the members of the body. Of this body, namely the Christian Church, Jesus is the head. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, the Master, and the Guardian of the Church. Jesus Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. Jesus Christ overcame death. He rose from the grave. He was the first to rise from the dead with a resurrection body. He would never die again. Since Jesus Christ was the firstborn among the dead, then follows that on the last day He will rise all the dead. The sum of all that has been said so far is that in Jesus Christ dwells the fullness of God, the totality of God, including all His divine attributes, dwell in Jesus Christ. It pleased God the Father to accomplish through Jesus Christ the greatest task ever done, namely to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Because sin entered the world, enmity and disorder came about between creatures and the Creator. However, through Jesus' sacrifice, the shedding of His blood, and His death on the cross, peace was made. Our Savior Jesus Christ is marvelous indeed. He is God. He is our Creator and Maintainer. He is our Head. He is our Redeemer. He is superior to anybody and to anything. The Apostle Paul continues to write in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Paul addresses directly the Colossians. By extension, we are included in the picture too. The Colossians, we and all believers, were at one time alienated and hostile to God in mind, doing evil deeds. Why? Because of our sinful nature, and because of the transgressions we commit against God's commandments. However, Jesus Christ reconciled us to God through His physical life and His physical death on the cross. This work of reconciliation has been completed by Christ. As a result, we have been purified, made holy, free of charges in God's sight. These benefits of Christ's work of reconciliation are given to us by faith. To remain under these benefits, continuation in the faith is necessary. Paul encourages the believers to keep on in the faith, to stand firm, and not to depart from the hope announced through the proclamation of the gospel. The gospel is the means by which faith and hope are sustained. Therefore, the gospel needs to be announced and heard. Paul was one of the ministers of Christ who in his days proclaimed the gospel. Today, God continues to call, to prepare, and to send out his messengers to the world. He also provides channels through which the gospel is spread. One of these channels is Lutheran Radio UK. Therefore, you do well in listening to this station and to invite others to do the same. Next, in his writing, Paul speaks about his ministry to the church. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29, we read the following. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this ministry, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. The work of the Apostle Paul was challenging. He experienced all kinds of afflictions, including imprisonment, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ he preached. Paul says that with his sufferings he filled up what was still lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. This does not mean that there was anything missing in Christ's sacrifice. No, Christ's sufferings for our salvation are complete. However, Paul and all Christians suffer with Christ as part of their service to Christ. Holy baptism unites us to Christ, both to his sufferings and to his salvation. Paul gladly accepted suffering for the sake of the gospel and believed that it brought benefits to the church. Paul had been called and commissioned by Jesus Christ to be his servant or minister to make known to the Colossians and many others the word of God. Unless the word of God is proclaimed, salvation in Jesus Christ remains a mystery or is kept hidden. God's purpose is to disclose the salvation in Jesus Christ to all people. Appointed by Christ, the Apostle Paul was directly involved in unveiling God's purpose to save both Jews and Gentiles. He did his job, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom. While the apostle was accomplishing his assignment, much labor, much struggle came about. Christ, however, supplied the energy and the power the apostle needed. Christ worked in Paul. Suffering is a subject of constant concern. A Christian scholar says the following: all people suffer because of the fallen nature of the world. But Christians are called to a special form of suffering for the sake of Christ: rejection, ridicule, and persecution. No one likes suffering. Nevertheless, the tears of Christian suffering reflect the glory of the cross of Christ. Remember how God used Christ's sufferings to save us. He will also use our sufferings to bring Christ's saving work to others who have no hope. Paul goes on addressing his readers. We read in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Paul is neither complaining about the struggles he is facing, nor is he asking his readers to feel sorry for him. In fact, Paul is showing great pastoral concern for the spiritual welfare of the believers in Colossae, in Laodicea, and all those whom he had not met personally. The aim of the apostle is that the believers be encouraged and knit together in love. Love and unity are not produced by human efforts, but they are gifts generated by God's love in Jesus. Paul wishes his readers grow in the understanding and knowledge of Christ. This would prepare them to withstand false teachers and their deceiving plausible arguments. Paul was unable to be in person with the Colossians and other Christians at that particular time. Nonetheless, he was present with them in spirit. He would be delighted to see that they were in good order and firm in their faith in Christ. We are bombarded by so many teachings that may sound nice, but can be deceiving and can lead us astray. Therefore, a constant study of God's Word is essential, so that we may grow in knowledge and understanding of the truth, and the roots of our faith may grow stronger and deeper in Jesus Christ. In this way, we will be able to discern the truth from falsehood and remain stable in the sound doctrine. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
The study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.